So, Tony, as a kid, you found success in a lot of different sports. Obviously, football, basketball, baseball. In Orange County, you were Athlete of the Year, and you shared that title with none other than Tiger Woods. But before that, you weren't really into sports that much. It was actually your older brother, Chris, who convinced you to give sports a try, and you hated it at first. You even got into Pop Warner, and after a few games, you quit because you couldn't stand it. So tell us a little bit about Tony Gonzalez before sports, before athletics. What did you enjoy about growing up in Southern California?
Southern California, surfing. That was kind of what I did. I played a lot of sports. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I hated sports. I didn't want to play sports. I was actually really, really good at it. But at recess, I was good at it. Right. And that was it. But it came to playing like organized. When I first tried out for Pop Warner, it was just, I was the worst kid on the team. The absolute worst kid on the team. And that's just, and because a combination of things. Obviously, looking back, it wasn't athletic ability. It was really just being comfortable with the game, the physicality of putting on shoulder pads and a helmet and running into somebody full speed with your head. It's not a natural thing to do. And so it took me a little bit longer. I like to say that I was a smart kid, because who wants to put their head into somebody full speed? It's kind of something you have to train yourself into doing. But I was typical. I loved I like dodgeball, tetherball. I was more into those type of sports, I guess. In organized sports, I was kind of shy from. But it took me a little while, and when my brother...
Surfing, skateboarding.
Surfing, loved riding bikes, you know, building ramps, going down to the dirt bike, making a dirt track, and building your own ramps and stuff like that. And I had a scooter. I was back right when scooters came out, so a lot of the guys in the neighborhood, we either rode skateboards or scooters before we got into bikes. But typical kid, I guess, a Southern California kid, typical Southern California kid.
Okay, so eventually you did... You got a knack for the sports, and you say, you know what, I can give this a shot. I like sports.
Yeah, I think what really set it off for me was basketball. And basketball gave me confidence that I could be good at something, because I always played basketball at recess, and I was pretty good at it. And I had tried football before because my older brother played it. And like I said before, I wasn't that good at it. And I quit. But that next year, I started playing basketball. And basketball, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just came pretty natural to me. Probably because I was taller than most of the other kids. But it gave me that confidence that I needed.
Right.
And that's really what was lacking before. That confidence to go out there and just let go of that fear. Because when you're afraid, you're going to hesitate. And if you hesitate in sports, you're dead. You're not going to be successful.
And it's no fun.
So that was one of the things that once I started playing that organized basketball, kind of just took off for me. Like, I really started coming into my own as an athlete.
Excellent. Okay, and let's fast forward a bit to high school. And the world knows you now as indubitably a first ballot future Hall of Famer as a tight end. But after some research, something interesting came up. Huntington Beach High School, first team, All-America, linebacker?
Yeah.
This is true?
Yeah, that's true. In one publication, yes. I love playing middle linebacker. I loved it. It's so simple. No offense, because I know you play linebacker. But linebacker is simple. It's see the ball and go tackle the guy who gets the ball. Just go wherever the ball goes. If he draws back the pass, just drop back and they'll tell you a little zone. You got like a little 10 to 15-yard zone, and then you jump up and intercept it. So
what do you think? Could you give it a run a couple downs in the NFL at this level as a linebacker?
I absolutely think I could. I go out there. One of my favorite times of year is in training camp, at the end of training camp, the fourth preseason game, because we're not going to play one play during the game usually. And we usually, that's when the starters get to go over and give looks now on defense. We do the walkthrough defense for the guys that are actually going to go out there and play that week. And I always pick middle linebacker.
It's
my spot. And I'm out there taking it kind of serious because I want to see what I can do against these guys. And I think I could do okay.
Coach, you hear this? Just keep it in mind, noted, if you run into any issues.
Actually, Florida State, when I was coming out, they wanted me to come play defensive end for them. DN or outside linebacker.
DN, outside linebacker.
That was I had a trip set up out there. Who knows?
Okay, so you and Michael Turner.
Here is Turner on short yardage, left side. He'll have the first down and more, 45-40. Turner, 35, taking people.
One-on-one in the hole. Out of 10 times, how many times are you tackling Michael Turner?
I'm going to tackle him 10 times. I'm
going to
take his head
ten.
off. I'm going to take his head off.
He's running over me. He's not just tackling him. He's getting dominated.
Oh, I'm
Okay, here's a little bit of a different twist. Swing pass out in the flat, out in space, one-on-one, Jaquizz Rodgers, out of 10 times, how many times are you getting him on the ground? One-on-one.
Whew. Now, that's tough because he's quicker than a hiccup. I'll take 60%.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Six I think out of 10. We need to can we make sure those two guys are our next interviews, because I want to see what they have to say about this. Well, sticking on outside of tight end position, if you did have to play in the NFL at another position for one game, mm-hmm. what position would you most like to play?
Linebacker.
Okay. How about what position would you least like to play?
As much as I think I can play it, I don't. Quarterback position.
Right.
That is a tough position. The amount of time that those guys put into to play in that position well. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I mean, most people don't even know about that. I think I put in a lot of extra time and work, but a guy like Matt Ryan is here at, he's getting up at around 6 o'clock in the morning, try to be here around 7, and that's an hour and 50 minutes before everybody else has to be here, just so he can go over plays. And like on Tuesday or on Wednesday, and he'll come on his day off. He'll come up here on Tuesday to look at film, start breaking down film. Monday, he has to start breaking down film for the next week after we just played Sunday. The amount of work that goes into it, I just don't know if I could do it.
I'm with
Too
you,
much
man.
Pressure on you.
I'm with you. Yeah. We're going to fast forward a bit to your collegiate years. Mm-hmm. You're a proud Cal Berkeley Bear. You're wearing your Berkeley blue today. Yeah. You had a lot of different focuses while you were at Cal. You obviously played football. You enjoyed a trip to the Sweet 16 as a junior in basketball, and you majored in communications. You had a lot of different teachers, a lot of different coaches, mentors in your collegiate years. Is there any one person or any one thing that was said to you that maybe made an impact on your life, maybe a life lesson that impacted the Tony Gonzalez we see today?
So many back then. Mm-hmm. I was a late bloomer in college too as well. My first 2 years, I kind of slept through it, to tell you the truth. I mean, I came in this highly touted recruit as far as football goes, you know, whatever, one of the top recruits coming out, and I barely started my freshman year. I think I had 7 catches. Second year is kind of the same thing. I started, but I wasn't honorable mention or anything, you know, no accolades at the end of the season. And then my third year, I came out, I was first team All-American. Mm. And so what happened for me was between that second and third year. And what made me go from here to this level, and I think it was more so, I think, the coaches coming up to me and just saying, you know what, I don't think you understand how good you can be. And I did have my last game in my second year. We played Stanford, and they beat us. But I went out there. I had 10 catches for 150 yards. Oof. And my previous high before that was maybe 58 yards or something like that. It was just like, bam, at the end of the year. So that confidence, once again, it was just confidence. Mm-hmm. And putting in the effort and the time to go out there and make it work. And after that game, that's when coaches came to me and said, you know what, you can do this. You need to believe in yourself. And I also started taking school a lot more serious, actually started going to class consistently, realizing that, you know, Cal is a great institution. Mm-hmm. I actually got close to a professor that year. I took ancient athletics, which is the study of Greece and Rome and where the Olympics first started, and going over the events that were there, and this just the time of the nature of the people back then. And it was one of the most interesting courses I ever had. In fact, I used to go before class and sometimes stay after class and talk to the professor about it because I was so into it. And he saw something in me, and he took the time to say, you know what, Tony, you're a smart kid. Like if all you have to do, it's all effort. What do you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of carries over every stage of life. What you put into it is what you get out of it.
Tony, you don't necessarily think you just have to be physically gifted to be successful. You are the type of person to understand you have to train your brain if you want to be elite at what you do.
The more you do something, the more your body's going to adjust to it, and it's going to become second nature where you don't even have to think about it. And that's what I want when I'm out there on that field. I don't ever mess around. When I am doing those catches, it's never just let's play catch. You know, I'm taking it serious. I'm catching that ball, and I'm passionate about it, I'm intense about it, and I'm tucking it every time, like pretending, putting myself, visualizing myself, how I'm going to act during the game, how it's going to come at me in the game. And I always make believe that there's a, defender right here. You got to have a good imagination, I guess, for this too. Mm-hmm. But visualization, I guess, is what they call it. And, and seeing yourself be successful and putting your mind in that situation, it'll carry over to the game. And I just, like I said before, what you put into it is what you get out of it. And if you practice the right fundamentals and you put in the work, you're going to be successful. You're going to be successful. One thing that I learned was real cool. This guy named Clint, I think it's his name. He's a Navy SEAL. He came and talked to us about last week. And he said, here's the four things that are going to separate you. First of all, you got to have talent. And in the NFL, there's talent everywhere. Then you got to have passion. And in the NFL, I think there's passion everywhere. Most guys are talented and passionate. So how are you going to beat a guy who's talented and passionate? And it comes down to endurance. And that's another thing. I'm getting more catches than you. I'm working harder than you. I'm going to have more endurance than you. And then precision. And that's making sure when you are doing those catches, you're practicing it. You're doing it the right way. So listen to your coaches because they know better than you. You know, as much as you think you know, you need to say, you know what, sometimes I need to listen. And when you're precise, then and you're talented and you're passionate and you have endurance, there's no stopping you. And that's kind of like he was able to articulate that into words where I was like, okay, that's always how I've always tried to prepare.
Excellent. All right, let's go between the lines, current situation. Surely Kansas City has a special place in your heart. They traded up in 1997 to draft you in the first round. You spent 12 seasons there in the NFL. What type of emotions are you feeling this week as you prepare to go back to Arrowhead in what could be your final season in the NFL?
Could be. I think it's my final season. first of all, going in there, it's going to be just weird, first of all. So I've done it by just looking up, you know, a place where I played so many games and won and lost and cried and bled and really made my name. And now I'm a visitor in that stadium. It's just going to be weird. I don't even know how to say it. But it's going to give me a warm feeling inside, a special feeling of wow, this is where I kind of came from. It's kind of... like when you get older and you go back to the house you grew up in, it's just looking around, very nostalgic. It's going to be special also because of the fans. The fans in Kansas City were unbelievable. They were always very, very good to me. They stuck by me. In my first 2 years there, I didn't have the greatest of seasons, and they stuck by me, and I never got booed or anything like that. So it was always, they were always good to me. But I can't wait to tell you the truth. One good thing about knowing that this might be my last year is, and I didn't even think about this until I've been in it now, but I get the opportunity, the luxury of knowing that this is my last year, pretty much, I'm almost positive, and I get to enjoy it. I get to walk in there knowing that I'll never be back here, so I'm going to enjoy every single second that I'm in that stadium. And riding back home on the plane with the guys, I'm going to enjoy that week in and week out, you know, that we travel. Or being at home, just being in the dome in Atlanta, just looking around, looking up at the fans and saying, this is it. This I'll never have this opportunity again. You better soak it up. You better be in the moment. That's what life's about, is being in the moment and enjoying the time that you have. Because tomorrow's never promised anybody. And that's one thing I tell my teammates all the time, is that you better make it count in this moment, because it might not be there. And now I really know that this is my moment. There is no tomorrow. There is no next year for me. So I get to put it all on the line and really, really enjoy it this year.
Talking about your last year, when that final whistle blows, you walk off that field for the first time, you hang up those cleats. What's something that you hope people will say about you? What type of legacy do you want to leave on and off the field?
Well, hopefully it was one of giving back, especially when it comes to off the field. I think that's a huge part of being someone who's recognized and all these accolades that we get, rewards that we get. We need to make sure that we put it back out in the community and put it out there. Whatever way that strikes is in your heart, you can do it with your family, with your friends, with children's hospitals, like something that I've done over my career.
Shadow Buddies.
Shadow Buddies is something that's been close to my heart. We, you know, going to senior citizen homes, nursing homes, and showing the older people that you care. So that's always been a big part of it. But I want people to know that I didn't start out as as somebody as a Hall of Famer. You don't start out that way. You work your way up to that. And so that means making a lot of mistakes. And nobody's perfect. And in fact, that's part of it. You're going to get it wrong. And I got it wrong plenty of times. The one thing that I'm proud of myself of is being able to learn from my mistakes and trying to limit it. Because that's what being a true professional is, a true success in life, is somebody that can learn from when he or she gets it wrong and just try not to repeat that same mistake. And learning, too. Mm-hmm. I want people to look at me and say, yeah, he's a curious guy.
Hungry for knowledge.
Somebody who didn't. It's not just about football. This is life. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you learn as much as you can about everything that you have an interest in. Why not? Hopefully, people say that about me. He took advantage of his opportunities when he was there in the league, on and off the field.
Mm-hmm. You grew up the son of a mother who worked two jobs to help support her family. Surely you had to overcome adversities and difficulties as a child. And today's youth face many challenges, many obstacles that they must overcome if they don't want to get lost in the shuffle. Is there anything that you learned, a life lesson maybe that you learned growing up through your childhood, something that you could pass along to today's youth, some advice for today's youth?
Really, I guess probably being, first of all, working hard. I think that goes without mm-hmm. saying. If you haven't figured that out by now, then you better start to figure it out, because otherwise you will not have success. You have to work hard, mm-hmm. first and foremost. Sometimes hard work can supersede talent. And another thing, I think, is being thankful. Mm-hmm. Thankful for what you do have. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at what you don't have, look at what you do have and count your blessings. And good things will happen to you. I believe in karma. I believe in putting out good thoughts. Like I always say, life to me works that way. What you put out comes back to you, including your thoughts. If you have negative thoughts, then negative things might happen to you. You know, if you put out positivity, it's all going to come back to you. You put out positivity, you put out hard work, you're thankful for what you do have and what's coming to you, you're going to be in a good spot. It'll all work out for you.
Setting goals is huge in life, in sports, in business, life in general. What do you do to achieve a goal? Is there some sort of tactic or technique, whether you talked before about visualization, mm-hmm. any certain thing that you've done throughout your life, whether it was in sports or not, just to, if you have something you want to accomplish, what do you do? Something you do to make sure you get it?
You know, my mom, when I was in high school, she loved this guy that most people know. His name is Anthony Robbins, or Tony Robbins. He's a motivational speaker. And there was one, back in the 80s, this is how far back it goes, she had cassette tapes, and I used to listen to them in high school. She used to play them for me. And one thing that he always said to do, and I still do it to this day, is I write down my goals. I write them down on a piece of paper, and I write down how I'm going to get there, too. I have a plan. That's part of the precision mm-hmm. that you have to have. That goes along with talent, endurance, and passion. That you got to be precise. Make a map for yourself. Say, I want to be all league, whatever, if you're playing in a league right now. I want to be all league, and this is how I'm going to get there. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get 20 catches a day. Before practice and after practice, I'm going to run my routes with precision and timing. I'm going to get at least this. This is what I'm saying. You got to be detailed in it, at least mm-hmm. for me. It works for me. And then go out there, because then you have a plan. Then you have a map. Then it becomes a routine. Mm-hmm. And once you develop that routine, then it's like all you have to do is just do what you – it's a routine. You don't even have to think about it anymore. And then muscle memory comes into that and cognitive dissonance. I learned this. This offseason, cognitive dissonance. It means if you do something long enough, whether it's and it's going to be uncomfortable at first because you're learning how to do it. Eventually, your body will adjust it. Your brain will adjust to it, especially like with negative thinking. Mm-hmm. If you feel like, hey, you know what, I'm just a negative person. I can't get out of that. I'm always in a rut. It's like you fake it till you make it. There's something to be said about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cognitive and it's science proves it that
right.
The more you tell yourself positive thoughts, the more you'll start to become that. And then mm-hmm. eventually, you won't even think about it anymore. You'll just be thinking positive. And that's how it is with route running. You know, the more I run an in-cut and I keep working on the proper fundamentals, next thing you know, I'm just doing it automatically. So that kind of is something that recipe that's always worked for me.
So it's not just what you want to do, but how you're going to do it and then do it.
Yep.
Map out a plan and go get it.
Map out a plan. See yourself being successful. Yeah. And don't dwell on it either. Mm-hmm. Don't But just go out there and work your routine. Once you come up with that routine, make sure it's a good one. Maybe ask somebody. If you don't think it's a good one or if you have questions about it, ask. Go and ask somebody. And people love to be asked for help. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go ask somebody who's in a position, and you'll find one. Trust me. There are people out there that you can go to a coach. You can go to your parents, somebody else's dad or whatever, mm-hmm. and say, hey, you know, what do you think of this routine? You know, you don't have to show it to everybody. Just show it to a couple of people in your inner circle. And they'll tell you, like, that's a good one, and keep working that routine or tweak it for you. And then just follow the routine. And it sounds so simple, but it is kind of that simple. Now, it's hard work, but it's that simple to come up with a plan.
Tony, we experience a lot of negativity in this world in which we live. It's inevitable. What are some of the things that you do to combat that negativity?
Well, I guess acceptance to where you're at always. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have a hard time with that one. We can always complain. Like I said, we can always look for something to be wrong. But I always try to look for the things that are right and learn from the things that I think are wrong. You know, I don't let it bother me too much. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in filling your mind with positivity, and that comes from reading from good books. One thing my coach told me, Jimmy Ray, he said, drink from good books. Mm. And that was my third year in the league.
Ingest it.
Yeah, make it part of you, mm-hmm. you know. But read good books, you know. Mm-hmm. For me, that's why I don't really read too much fiction. Mm-hmm. I like reading nonfiction. I like reading biographies. I like reading. Well, the first book I ever read from front to back on my own that I went out and picked was a book on Bo Jackson back in 8th grade or 7th grade. And I loved it. I wish I had stuck with it a little bit more in my high school and college days. But when I got back in the pros, that's something I really started to do after my second year in the league. Started reading biographies. I started reading self-help positivity books. Mm-hmm. Started reading some spirituality books, you know. Not religious books, but spirituality books. Like really, what can make me a better person? What's going to help me? Just self-improvement. Mm-hmm. Mm. And then surrounding yourself, making sure you're with people. That I always tell young rookies when they come into the league, make sure that whoever's in your inner circle, make sure it's somebody that you trust and somebody that's going to tell you no every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Don't surround yourself with yes people. Surround yourself with no people, like people that are going to be like, you know what, that's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know what, you're having too much fun. Relax, you know. Mm-hmm. You're going the wrong way here in life. You need to turn around. You need somebody that's not afraid to stand up to you and tell you the truth. And so that's why you want to surround yourself with people that are kind of aligned with the same goals that you have, people that want to do better for themselves. Those are the people that you need to hang out with. Because if you got somebody who's bad news, I don't care if they're close to you. I don't care if it's your brother. You need to put them at arm's length and be like, I'm sorry, I just can't hang out with you. And I know that's hard. Peer pressure is tough, especially mm-hmm. when you're a kid. But you need to be strong enough and say, I'm going this direction because I know this is the right way. And if you want to go that way, that's fine. But if you want to come with me, this is how we're going to do it. Now you have an opportunity to teach, to help him out or her out. Bring them with you. But if they don't want to come with you, don't let them bring you down. And mm-hmm. that's usually what works.
All right, here we go. Rapid fire inside the mind with TG, Tony Gonzalez. What is your favorite word?
I got two favorite words, but
we'll let you slide.
My favorite word probably is thank you.
Thank you. I like it.
Or achieve.
Achieved. Mm-hmm. How about your least favorite word?
Quit.
A sound or noise that you love?
Either one of my children's laugh.
A sound or noise that you hate?
It's probably a little morbid here, but I can't stand the sound of somebody screaming mm-hmm. in pain. Mm-hmm. And you hear that a lot in football. It's just mm-hmm. part of the business, though.
Yeah. Can you describe an atom?
It's a building block of life.
That was in there to stump you, but very good. Your favorite book?
Power versus Force.
That's a good book. If you could trade places with any person for 1 week, real or fake, famous or not, alive or not, with whom would you trade?
Hugh Hefner. Just playing. probably one of our founding fathers.
Yeah.
The Declaration of Independence. I'd love to maybe add some stuff to there.
Ah.
Or reiterate some stuff that was written.
Clarify. Yeah. Right. No loopholes, right?
No loopholes.
I love it. If aliens landed in front of you, and in exchange for anything you desire, you would go to their planet and hold any position, what position would you want to hold? What would you be?
President.
President of the aliens.
President of the aliens.
Okay. Yep. What's your power animal?
Tiger? What's a power animal?
I don't know, but that sounded good.
Tiger.
If there were a Hollywood movie made about your life, who would you like to see play the lead role?
George Clooney.
George Clooney.
He's cool, calm, and collected.
All right, two more. Here we go. If you could be a superhero, what would be your one superpower?
That's easy. Fly.
Fly.
Mm-hmm. Fly. So I want to soar above the clouds and look down. And I want to be like an eagle, just up there. You ever see the eagles when they're floating up there, or a hawk? And just they look like, it looks like that's the best time in the world. Just hanging out in the wind, letting it take me wherever I want to go.
Mm-hmm. All right, last one. How would you describe yourself in three words?
Passionate. Curious. Loving.